the name of the Lord today. Can we praise the name of the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Matthew chapter 16? And we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 19 once again. Thank all of you for joining us online. We pray that you will get your Bible and engage with us in the word of the Lord, because it's more fun when we do it all together. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 18 and 19. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would just bring us spirit, soul, and body here for the next 30 minutes, and that, God, we can receive from your word, and that it would equip us and illuminate us and encourage us. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Right out of the gate this morning, I'm probably going to touch a sacred cow. I ask that you would just please listen until the conclusion of the matter, and then I'll let you make up your own mind. In this particular verse, there's a lot of people that have strong feelings about this verse. But as you study it and as you read it in its context and what it truly means, binding and loosing is a rabbinical term which means to forbid, which means to bind, or to permit, which means to loose. It has nothing to do with Satan, has nothing to do with territorial spirits and demons. It has nothing to do with loosening health or wealth or success. And if you have felt that way, again, I don't mean to cross swords with you, but I want to just bring it to what it truly means. The scripture here is dealing with, number one, it is dealing with the affairs of the house of God. Second of all, it is dealing with the body of Christ, and in particular, a pastor judging a believer who is living in willful sin. I know you don't see that much today, but that is really what this passage of scripture means. This is not contrary to popular belief. It is not about binding Satan. We do not have any scriptures in the Word of God where Jesus, before he began his ministry, he said, I bind every satanic force that would oppose the Word and the will of God. I know that's popular for us as preachers, but we don't have one instant in the scripture where Jesus felt that he needed to bind the devil before he healed somebody, or before he forgave somebody, or before he did ministry and taught the Word. Now, if you go to the scriptures, you will find it is in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. What did stop him from ministering was because of the people's unbelief. The scripture says in Mark 6 and 5, because of their unbelief, he could do not many works among them. He didn't have to go in and bind the devil. He did not have to take authority over the prince and the paladins of the spirit in order to proclaim the gospel. I know that around the world, there are probably literally, I think it would be safe to say, a million Christians that are right now binding Satan and taking authority over Satan. But here is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is found in Revelation 20 and chapter 3. It says that there's going to be one angel that's going to come, and he is going to bind Satan and will cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Until that time happens, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And you can get up every day and bind Satan, but the truth of the matter is he has been allowed to work for a season. And until his season is up, he will not be bound, no matter how many hours you bind him through prayer. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have power over Satan. The Bible says you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Understand this, that all the serpent could do in the Garden of Eden is try and deceive Adam and Eve with a lie. I want you to understand, this is very important that the body of Christ, you in particular, understand this, that all Satan has the power to do is to try and tempt you and to deceive you. But if you'll notice, he did not have the power to make them believe his lie. He only had the power to suggest a lie. Much of the power, say this with me, I need your participation. Say, much of the power, the enemy has is only what I give him. And when you get that revelation, you will stop being afraid of the devil. Much of the power that the enemy has is the only power that you give him. You say, Pastor, how do I give the enemy power? Here's how. Through your thoughts, through your attitudes, through your words, and through your actions. That is how you empower the enemy. We are either releasing the power of God in our lives through our words, through our thoughts, through our actions, and through our attitudes, or we are releasing the power of God through our words and thoughts and attitude and actions. This is what 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he can't just go and devour anyone at will. Brothers and sisters, if the devil could do what he wanted to anytime he wanted to, this earth right now would be obliterated because he has a threefold agenda, that is to steal, kill, and destroy. But the enemy cannot do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. Understand that the enemy is like a roaring lion, but the cross and Jesus and Calvary literally defanged the lion, declawed the lion, and all he is left with is his roar. And if his roar, it is to intimidate you, it is to come against you and say, I will bring you down. I will cause you to have this sickness. I will make sure that you die a death of poverty. That's all that he can do. But then it is up to you to receive that word and to feed that word. But if you don't, then all you have to do is say, Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I'm not coming to you, Satan, on my authority. I come in the authority of the name and the authority of the blood and the authority of the word. This is why I get up every morning and I don't go binding Satan. I get up in the morning and I plead the blood over the doorpost of my heart. God, I plead the blood over the doorpost of my health. I plead the blood over the doorpost of my life. God, I want to speak your word. I want to walk in your word. I want to walk in your authority. I have no authority. Jesus said, Pilate, you have no authority except the authority that came down from heaven, because all authority is in Christ. And the only authority that we have is because we've been baptized in his name, filled with the Spirit, and we have the word of God in us. I want to encourage you this morning. You have nothing to be afraid of when it comes to the enemy, because greater, shout greater, shout greater, shout it like you mean it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I get a witness? Satan, say this with me. Satan cannot devour or destroy me without my cooperation. Can't do it. If he could, he would have already done it. Because I'm going to tell you, he hates you as a child of God. because you are light in this world. And you got to understand the children of God are the only thing pushing back the forces of evil. He hates you. So if he could, he would have already destroyed you. But he can't. He can't do it, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't have the power to do it. How can he destroy us when we give him the power based off of what we watch, what we say, and what we think, and what we listen to? I know that as a family, we have a great time and we joke around and we kid and we laugh, and that is all well and good. But at the same time, we all must understand there are limits and boundaries to that. We have to watch what we watch as children of God. We got to watch what we listen to. We got to watch the words that come out of our mouth. We got to watch the thoughts that we think. Why? Because if you're thinking evil thoughts, you're giving an inroad into Satan. If you're thinking wholesome thoughts and the Word of God thoughts, then you're giving an inroad into God in your life. This is why the Scripture says we need to take every thought. Say every. Every thought into what? Into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. Your body will only go where your mind has already been. I know we say this because we're trying to be kind and we should be kind. But we talk about, well, this one fell into sin as though it was just an accident. We need to be kind. So that's fine to say that. But the truth of the matter is that person didn't just fall into sin. Their mind had already been where their body. They were already thinking it. Oh, they just didn't see a pretty lady and all of a sudden, you know, bam, bad things happen. It doesn't work like that. Every thought in your mind, brothers and sisters, if it stays there long enough, will eventually bring forth fruit. Here's an example. You start thinking about a new car. Let's do a poll here real quick. How many of you thought about a new car one day and you literally went out and bought it that very next minute? Let me see your hand. No one. Oh, two people. I can believe that about Steve. Steve goes to get an oil change and he comes back with a new vehicle. But for the most part, how many of you had to think about it a minute? Sure. So what you do is you start thinking, you know, I really need a new car. And then you get online and you start looking at the car you want. And then you go down the highway and you start noticing. If you wanted a Chevrolet, you start noticing a lot of Chevrolets. Then you start asking a person, hey, man, I noticed you got this Chevrolet. Do you really like it? Yeah. What do you not like about it? So you start talking. Then you go back online. Then you start looking. And then eventually you go by the dealership and you spend a little bit of time. You kick the tires. You look at the engine. Make sure that you can, you know, afford the payments. And then guess what? You're like, I think this is really what I want. I can afford the payments. You go back, you sign, you ink the deal, you come home with a new vehicle. I'm going to tell you something. For the most part, you just didn't have the thought and then act on it. You pondered it. You kept thinking about it. And then as you kept thinking about it, the fruit of that thought was a new car in your driveway. That is exactly how it happens, both good and bad. The longer you think on something, the more it's going to begin to bear fruit. And that works both for good and for evil. And this is why I say often, you need to plant good seeds and you pull out the bad weeds out of your mind. Because your mind is truly like a garden and it is constantly going to produce. Can I get a witness? See, eventually the fruit of your thoughts is going to bear in your actions. And Satan, what Satan wants is he wants you to yield your thoughts to him so that he can bring destruction and death into your life. But God wants you to yield to him so that he can release blessings and abundance into your life. God never gets involved with anyone to decrease them. God always gets involved with you to increase you. But not even God himself can override your thoughts and your will. You have to constantly be speaking this word and professing the word over your life, because Satan does have an agenda, and that is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Both God and the devil are willing and able to manifest those things in your life. But the determining factor is you. Some people say, well, I just think it's fate that I turned out this way, or I think it's luck, or I think it's this or that. But really, brothers and sisters, it's not. It's our thoughts. It's our choices and actions that make a huge difference in our life. I'm not saying that your DNA and your genes that you got from your mother and father don't have a say and a play in your life, but I am saying the word of God is more powerful than the genes and the DNA from your family history. This can break the chain of abuse. This can break alcohol addiction, and this can break abuse in your life. This has the power, as you begin to change your thoughts, it has the power to break any chain that the enemy has brought into your family. Can I get a witness? Let's give God some praise here. But what we find out is that it's really easier for us to indulge our flesh and think, well, it's not hurting me to do all this stuff. Brothers and sisters, as your pastor who loves you deeply, every time you indulge your flesh, you are releasing spiritual powers into your life. You may not believe me, and that's okay, but every time you're watching things that you probably wouldn't watch with your kids or you shouldn't watch, you are releasing spiritual powers and giving inroads into your life. Not sometimes, every time. That's why David said, I'll put no wicked thing before my eyes. You would not think about bringing in a rattlesnake to your house, a copperhead, and just releasing it in your home. You would never even think about that. And yet we release stuff into our house that is just as poisonous, maybe not physically, but spiritually, as a rattlesnake. Be vigilant. Be sober. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Every time you indulge your flesh, well, it ain't going to hurt. I've said the same thing. I'm not up here high and mighty. I've said the same thing throughout my life. Well, you know, it's not going to hurt. But you don't realize what you're doing is, it may not hurt the first time so much, but the enemy wants you to go back the second, and then the third. And then if you're not careful, you give an inroad and you start releasing spiritual power into your life. And as you give more and more place to the devil, I can guarantee that it will cost you something. God's word says, neither give place to the devil. It's not that God, brothers and sisters, freaks out when you sin. He already knows our frame. He already knows we're going to mess up. The reason why God hates sin so much is because you open the door to the devil. And when you open the door to the devil, he never just takes an inch. He wants to take a mile in your life. So the best thing you can do is say, no, I'm not going to even go there. No, I'm not going to even participate in that. No, you can call me a sissy all you want, but I know me. You can say whatever you want to, but I know me. I know there are some things for me I'm speaking about I just don't need to participate in. You might be able to do it, but I don't need to do it. It's a weakness in my life, and I can't allow the enemy to come into this weakness and make it a stronghold. Am I making sense? See, we are the ones. Say this. We are the ones. We are the ones who give Satan inroads into our life. And we can blame it on mom and dad and the pastor and our neighbor and this wicked saint that we sit next to. We can blame it on anything we want to, but the fact is we give inroads into our life by the devil. We open ourselves up. How? Through our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our actions. Come on, somebody. Here's what I believe that works. And I'm going to try to, I just want to bring this alongside of you. Here's what I believe that works. refuse to speak forth anything contrary to what you are believing for. I'm going to say that again. Refuse to speak forth anything contrary to what you are believing for. In other words, if you are believing to be blessed financially, then don't go around talking about how broke you are. Okay, you may be, you say, Pastor, I am dead broke. You may be dead broke. I get that, right? But don't talk about your position. Don't talk about your condition of being dead broke. Talk about your position. I am a child of God, and my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? That's what you want to say. Okay, does that make sense? You may be saying one thing in here and putting on a facade here and then saying another thing out there. And I'm going to tell you, we are hung by our own tongue. I'm going to say that again. We are hung by our own tongue. Brothers and sisters, it does you no good to come in here and put your praise on and say how good God is, and then the other 6 days give inroads to the devil in your life. It doesn't work that way. Whatever you're confessing in here, keep confessing it. It is okay to say, I got a problem, I'm afraid, I'm fighting this sickness. That's perfectly okay. But then you counter that with the truth of God's word. But by his stripes, I am healed. Yes, I'm not doing too good right now financially. That is the truth. But the scripture says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Yes, I'm not on top of the mountain, but my God is battling for me. My God is going before me. It may not be good today, but I believe it's going to change because I know that God is for me. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? See, you got to confess that. You can't just say that here. You got to keep saying it. Don't just allow anything to come out of your mouth. I know this is petty. I know it's very minute, but we would never allow Trey or Normali to say they were stupid. Never. What we would say is you are created in the image of God, and God has never been stupid. He is full of wisdom and power. God is everything in his nature, his DNA, his image is on the inside of you. That's what we would speak to them. Don't allow just anything to come out of your mouth. I know we say it jokingly. I understand it. Maybe I'm taking this too far. But I never called my kids, you little monkeys, you know, get off the couch. I never said that to them. Never degraded them. Never defaced them. Never called them stupid. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but Janet and we just believe what we preach here. Did we, Trey? We never did that. And I don't think we ever will. I don't think we're going to call our grandkids little monkeys because they're not little monkeys. And I know what you mean, and maybe I'm taking this too far, but they are human beings made and born in the image of God. Life is hard enough without us tearing one another down. Let's lift up one another. Let's talk about who we are in Christ. Do you understand that according to Revelation, we are kings and we are priests? What does that mean? That we are kings in the earthly and God wants us to reign in the earthly over things. And we are priests and God wants us to reign in the spirit and in the supernatural over things. He looks at us not as little monkeys, not as stupid, not as crazy. He looks at us made in the image of God, that we have authority and dominion and power upon the earth. We have authority and dominion with Christ in heaven. We have authority and dominion over sin, over sickness, over Satan, and over self because of the Spirit of Christ that is in us. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise in this house. Here's a powerful scripture found in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20. It may be one that you've overlooked, but I would recommend read it again. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. What does that mean? It means if you don't like the groceries you're eating, then change the way you're speaking. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You are being filled with what you are speaking. Your words are important. You say, Pastor, really? Are you serious? Is it really that important? Yes, it is. And I'm going to prove it to you. Here it is. Matthew 12 and 37. I want you to see this. Here's how important it is. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. The Bible goes on to say that you are snared by the words of your mouth. Your words are very important. Why? Because you're made in the image of God. And when God got ready to create, you know how he created? The Bible says in Hebrews that he spoke the worlds into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You really don't understand your own authority that you have. Everything you say and do is released, is releasing either God's power or Satan's power in your life. When God's word, I want you to get this, when God's word and my will and my words line up, they're in alignment, then the power and the authority of God can flow through me. When Satan's agenda, my will, and my words line up, then Satan's power can flow through me. I'm the one who makes the choice. And guess what? You don't make it for a week at a time, a month, or 6 months, or a year. You make it on a daily basis. You say, Pastor, can you prove it? I can. Because out of Peter's mouth, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus whipped around and said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my spirit has revealed this to you." In other words, this is the divine revelation that you have gotten from heaven, Peter, and he spoke it. Now, look at Peter again. He says, "Lord, you don't have to worry about going to the cross." God whips around again and says, "Satan, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me." Same man, same mouth, being used by God one day, being used by Satan the next. It wasn't that God hated Peter. He didn't, but he was giving no space because, listen, his flesh did not want to go to the cross. His flesh wanted to know that Peter would protect him from going to the cross because he was man. And what he had to do is God is say, "Peter, get behind me. I will not entertain that thought, because for this reason I came into the world, and that was to go to the cross." So you can be speaking God one day and you can be speaking Satan the next day. This is why Paul said, "I die daily." I had to pick up my cross and I had to say, "God, help my will to align to your word and your will so that you can put me at the right place at the right time. So you can give me a word of encouragement. So you can help me to be a blessing to somebody else." And I have to do that, ladies and gentlemen, on a daily basis. Does that make sense? See, it takes our cooperation for God or for the devil to do anything in our life. Satan doesn't have the authority or the power to devour you unless you quit obeying God and quit yielding yourself to sin. Amen. I have more to say, but I need to stop there. Let's stand together. Satan's only power is deception. Satan's only power is to tempt you. Remember, he came to Jesus to tempt him. But what did Jesus say? "Satan, it is written." Immediately he quoted the word. Satan couldn't make him jump off of that building. If he could, he would have pushed him. Couldn't do it. If Satan could, he would have made him bow down, but he couldn't. Couldn't. He doesn't have the power to do that. Y'all stay with me just a minute. Satan is a spirit just as God is a spirit. Satan needs a body just as God needed a body. Okay, I want y'all to stay with me. God had to place his spirit in a body in order to get back the authority that we lost in the garden. He just couldn't come out unrestricted and say, I command this and I command that. He couldn't do it. Why? Because he gave dominion to Adam and Eve in the garden, and he didn't just take it back at will. He gave it to them. And then they gave it to Satan. And so God, in the manifestation of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, he had to become flesh so that he could go to the cross. Now, y'all stay with me. We think as believers that the cross is basically about repentance and salvation and healing. But I'm going to tell you, it's more than that. The cross is also about restoring you to your rightful place in authority and dominion upon this earth. So that you no longer have to be a slave to sin or sickness or Satan or self. He gives you that authority through Christ. You say, well, Pastor, how can I break some things in my life? How can I break some addictions in my life? Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. So number one is repentance. That has become an ugly word in Christendom, but that's a shame, because repentance means I change my mind. And when I change my mind and I change my heart, it brings about a change of behavior, because I no longer want to give Satan inroads into my life. Right? And then what I do is I ask God to fill me with his spirit, because willpower alone is not strong enough to help me to live this life. I got to have God's spirit to help me. And then I have to bow daily and ask him again, give me this day my daily bread. Notice it doesn't say I'm going to give you a year's worth. No. Why? Because if you got a year's worth, you wouldn't think you needed God anymore. And what God wants the most is relationship. So he wants you to come every day, kneel back down and say, God, here I am, submitted to you again. My will, my mouth, whatever you want, Lord, I want to be that vessel. Does that make sense? And then the next thing that we do after we repent and we receive his spirit is we're baptized in his name. Because then why do I use that name? I use that name as my authority, as my power of attorney. See, I don't come in and I don't pray for you in the name of Wayne, because the name of Wayne is not powerful. But the name of Jesus is powerful. Right? The name of Jesus. Jesus is the only one that conquered hell, death, and the grave, and stripped Satan of his power and made a show of him openly. I didn't do that for you, so I don't pray in my name, but I do pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when I pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, and you pray it with authority, I'm telling you, all of heaven comes to attention, because there is all power in the name of Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands and shout the name. Come on, somebody lift up your hands and shout the name. Come on, somebody lift up your voice right now and give God praise. You have the authority over sin, over Satan, over sickness, over the works of the devil, because of the power of the cross. Hallelujah. If you say, Pastor, I really want to change, but I can't do it. You're right, you can't, because if you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't. You can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. That's why you needed a Savior. Because if you could save yourself, Jesus wouldn't have come to the cross. But you couldn't. The Bible says, can a leper change his own spots? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no, he can't. And neither can you change yourself without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why if you don't know him, first of all, just repent and ask him to forgive you. Second of all, ask him to come into your life and change you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then be baptized in his name. And then start reading your word, so it can start changing your thinking. So you can start becoming a disciple. I believe there's going to be, according to the scripture, there's going to be a number that no man can number. There's going to be a lot of people saved. But I do believe that there's only few that become disciples. Because discipleship is a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to become a disciple. What does it take to become a disciple? Not 10%. It takes everything. You being willing to totally give up everything to his kingdom. That's what a disciple really is. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your name, your blood. God, everything that is going on, Lord, I know there's a lot of fear right now. Fear about sickness, fear about racism, fear about social injustice, fear about America. There's a lot of fear. But God, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, you want us to walk in authority and in dominion. You want us to know the answer. The answer is the gospel. The gospel is the answer to all of the world's problems. Father, help us as believers not to curse the darkness, but God, to turn on the light and to show forth your love and your righteousness and your power in our life, that we would walk into situations and know that within ourselves we are nothing, but with Christ we are more than a conqueror, and we have that authority and that power to take dominion over sin and sickness and self in the name of Jesus. Give us that revelation, we pray, and everybody say amen. Before you go, why don't you just put your hands up right now and say, God, help me to receive your word today. Lord, put it in my heart. Put it in my mind. Don't let me walk out of here, God, and forget what I've heard. God, help me not to walk, Lord, in fear of what Satan may do to me. But help me to walk in faith, knowing that I have your name. I have your blood. I have your word. I have your spirit. Come on, child of God, rise up. Rise up. This thing is not over till he says it's over. You have power. You have dominion. You have authority in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the word of Jesus. Come on, confess it with your mouth. Believe it with your heart. See the salvation of the Lord in your life. I can do what he says I can do. I can have what he says I can have. I can be what he says I can be. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.